Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
You're locked on Fast Break Friday on The V Show.
Presented by AL81.
LA, the soft drink of tomorrow. LA, a new kind of taste. LA, the soft drink of tomorrow. LA. It's from another place.
Crisp, clean, L.A.
Bang. Emanating from the ESPN Louisville studios and heard throughout the Commonwealth on the PNV network.
Who in here trying to start a fire?
That's the stupidest comic ever.
It's so funny.
That's funny.
There are four rules. That's good.
Very good.
Oh, my God. So given tomorrow you have to vote, would it be Biden, Trump, or the Hawk Tua girl? Who are you voting for?
Probably Hawk Tua girl.
I think she wins in a landslide.
What if I throw an Oilers girl?
She can't. She's not American.
Canadian. That's a good point.
Well, hell, vote for her anyway. Yeah, we're changing the rules.
Hawk to a Oilers girl, 2024.
Stick a Hawk to her 24. Yeah, that'd be the ticket.
Yeah. Have you? Seriously, like
they've
within minutes.
They've already made
minutes
shirts.
Of Hawk to a going viral. They had Hawk to a 24.
I saw it at a bar this weekend. I was like, I'm disappointed already. Like, I was like, that's way too quick.
It came out. When did it really go viral?
It came out like last Friday, and I went out Saturday night, and I saw a dude sporting it, and I was like, wow.
I was...
Maybe Thursday night, but still, it was way too quick for me to like comprehend. Like,
I'll take your t-shirt and raise you. I was at the Dirty Dancing weekend, and...
Oh, God.
And... That came out Friday. Saturday night, they do a dance review as part of the a dance party. And the dance instructors do like a compilation of all the dances from the movie. And so it's the finale. It's like, I had the time of my life. And as that plays, some old guy in the back goes, Hawk to us! And I just was like,
oh,
what
my God.
The f- is going on?
By the way, did you do the lift?
No.
Well,
we tried. We tried. Okay. So we tried.
And what happened?
And it's hard. Like, it takes physicality on both ends.
Okay.
You have to have really good core strength to plank.
Right.
And you have to have strong upper body strength to lift.
Right.
And how do I put this nicely? Jen's a little top heavy.
Okay.
So we tried it, and
she's a busty gal, is what you're saying.
She's a busty lass. And yeah. So we tried it. We got about halfway up. But with some practice, I think we could do it. But
which way did you almost? Did she almost fly over your head? She just didn't like. She didn't quite.
No, she didn't. She didn't level off. That was the thing. So she basically jumped up in the air, and I lifted her. I need to get a little stronger too. Like I lifted her like 3/4 of the way in the air, just straight up. And I'm not gonna lie, her boobs were in my face, and I couldn't really.
I just would be afraid of. I don't think she gets hurt if you just let her go back down.
Oh, yeah.
But
no,
if she goes over your head like a foul ball,
yeah,
well, then you're taking her home
goes
in a pillowcase.
Head over tea kettle.
Yeah.
And, like I said, top heavy, she'll kind of flip over. So, yeah, It was. You want to see the video? This is about as far as we got.
No, I don't think we need to do that on radio. I'll see it later.
Yeah, it's really not that interesting. Okay. It's basically her just jumping into my arms.
All right.
Oh. It was cute. It was cute. It was cute. But yeah.
Did any of the other guests successfully achieve it?
No. The only thing that
I saw.
The only one I saw was there was a lovely family from California.
Okay.
My man Bo bought us shots the first night. Good dude. They had some kids. And in the pool, they executed the just like in the movie. It's safer to do the flip in water. So if you fall, you fall into the water.
Sure.
They did the flip. They did the lift with their kids.
Oh, that's like
in the pool.
That's
exactly.
That's more like Lion King than it is.
Yeah, right. So, but that was the only. It's tough to do the lift. None of the dance instructors attempted.
You're kidding?
No, but they were.
I didn't realize it was that hard.
Well, it's tricky, and you have to.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I read the dialogue about it, and they could never get it in the rehearsal.
Right.
And so when she did it, the time they did it successfully, don't quote me on this because I'm not 1,000% sure, but I think they thought they were just practicing it again. But they had the film rolling.
Oh, really?
And so they caught it because they got it because it's really hard to do.
It's not easy. I do know that in the, you know.
How long does he hold her up there in the movie?
Like 5 seconds, maybe.
Does he?
Yeah, I think so. And like I do know that he does right before he lifts her, he jumps off the stage and does a big like jump. I do know that Patrick Swayze had like hurt his knee. Like prior to that, and he was in excruciating pain doing that jump.
Really?
Yeah, like legitimately, like he's like, you know, kind of winces.
Wow.
Like you could kind of see, like, but I think he does legitimately jump off the stage, but he was not exactly feeling super hot after doing it.
Interesting, the comments coming in, so anti Bronny. They only took him just because his father was. Well, I mean, in the one regard, that's true. In the other regard, it's not true, because he was one of the outstanding players in the country coming out of high school. He lost most of his season at USC because of the heart ailment. He played very well in the practice, the pro days. And a lot of these people that were taken, especially overseas, you're not objecting to them because you don't know anything about him. You just know that he had very modest stats at USC. But he may have a very big upside. He's very young, and he was considered one of the outstanding players. He was trying to make up for lost time. And yes, the fact that he's LeBron's kid is not like, let's do him a favor. They want to keep LeBron. If LeBron, said, I'm only going to play for a team that my kid has a chance to play on, and he signs somewhere else, he certainly doesn't need the money. That other team could get a hell of a player, probably for well below market value, if they knew that they were going to get. So there's nothing wrong with that. People do that all the time. People do that in recruiting. They hire a guy's coach so that they may be able to get a player. The coach changes jobs, and what happens? The players go with him. That's the way of the world right now. So I don't have a problem with it. And selfishly, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's very cool. I just hope for the kid's sake he's not terrible. Because it's tough if everybody's watching and you're not very good. It's a difficult thing. Jack Nicklaus's son was an accomplished golfer, but his father was Jack Nicklaus. Certainly wasn't going to, you know, measure up to that. I wonder. Charlie seems pretty confident. Tiger's kid. We'll see. Maybe he'll be a really good player. You know.
Well, I mean, busting the ball 325 yards at 14.
The Howes were good players. Their son, the Gordy sons, but there's Gordy Howe is literally on everybody's list of maybe
Mount Rushmore. He's a Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, he's a Mount Rushmore guy. None of those guys were there. And I always feel bad because if you just make it in the NHL, you're a great player, not a good player. You have to be a great player.
Yeah, you're a fraction of a fraction.
You're exactly. Right? Yeah. And so, but, well, you're not your dad. Well, okay, that's true. I mean, that's the way it is. A lot of people weren't your dad. So it's just, I don't know. We'll see if Bronny, but they seem, you know, LeBron has taken his share of criticism from people because he's not Michael Jordan, and the people are very defensive about Michael, and they feel anything that you say is you know, a compliment to somebody else somehow is a threat to Michael. But he's been a pretty rock solid individual. I mean, there hasn't been any scandal that surrounded him. The most objectionable thing is that he's made a big to-do about when he signed with Miami, and that was, I thought, awkward at best. But this hasn't been scandal. He starts his own school. He gives money to start a school. He's very generous. You haven't heard about him, you know, having any sort of
scandals
following him around. He's a very devoted father, evidently. He's so I don't know. I just so good for him. Should that count for something? Yeah, in my mind, it should. Absolutely should. Especially a second-round draft pick. Now, had they taken him first round, I'd have a problem. But yeah. They got a very good player in the first round. The second round, 80% at least of those guys will be marginal at best. At best. You know, every once in a while you stumble on one. You're more likely to find a guy that's not signed at all who comes on as a free agent than you are. The second round is a definite crapshoot for a lot of reasons. One is the cap. You know, I don't even understand the salary situation in the NBA. They if you are a team that was in the penalty the year before, you have a different cap restriction on you than the other teams. So not only is there a, you know, where you can franchise a guy and give him more the hometown deal than other teams, that's one thing. So it's not like everybody can pay this guy the same amount. But on top of that, if you're in, I think, the penalty of the league, there's a restriction on what you can do the following year, I guess, to try and level the playing field so that you get back in line with
really
everybody.
I didn't
else.
Know that.
Yeah, I think that's – yeah, I didn't either. So Texter likes that I didn't realize it was that hard, I said. You said we only got it halfway.
We only got it halfway up. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Tanner. We need Tanner to hit the mixtape button. Phrasing.
He's in the bathroom. He has to. When he gets old, how much will he pee? If he's
dude, that's what
like
I'm saying.
Now?
My man pisses like crazy. Like, we can't get through an entire episode of the Gas Bags without Tanner taking a leak. Yeah. He must have a prostate the size of Gibraltar.
Well, I wouldn't know. It would be small.
No, I thought a big prostate limits your peeing. No.
I wasn't pissing. I was sending it to Lexington, guys.
Oh, thank you.
Same
thank
thing.
You,
Tanner.
Oh, God. Oh, that was the radio gods. Getting mad at me for yelling at
Why
Tanner.
Why do you grab onto the mic?
Because my mixtape.
Thank you, Tanner.
Nick likes to grab the microphone like he's singing a very sexy ballad, you know, like...
I do that because this
saving all my love for you. And, you know, you got to grab the mic for a song like that.
Right.
And so he does, but he also is...
Yeah, I yanked the thing off.
A tad... burly, and so you look like you're doing a
because this has a very active spring. I know how to do it. It has a very active spring.
But that could that be mixtape material?
Wait, righty tighty, lefty loosey. Here, wait. Sorry, give me a second.
I got it ready though.
Oh. my mixtape.
You see what he just did? He just got through telling you it's a very aggressive spring. If you've ever seen a dentist, the drill thing he's got, that's what this is. That's what a mic is attached to. So it's got a spring. And the mic he's on, that spring is tighter than this spring. So he was trying to screw the microphone in. And again, I don't know why he was hanging and pulling, but he pulled the mic off and the spring came up and hit him right in the eye. It snapped his head back like an Ali jab.
No, I got stuck. That hurt. Boom. All right. I'm unplugging for a second.
Yeah, go ahead. You unplug. So there you go. We got Neil Knuckles Greenberg with us. We'll see what's on his docket for the betting scene. I'm trying to figure out, I'm going to ask his advice on round robins. Because I think there's money to be made there.
Like the bets?
Yeah, because... Yeah.
That's the one thing I've never gone into.
If you pick three teams, for example, you could bet them all in a parlay, but then you do a round robin, which is, let's say the teams are A, B, and C. You bet A and B in a parlay, and then B and C in a parlay, and then A and C in a parlay. So if you get two out of the three right, you make money.
Yeah, but you put up five, but then... You really are putting up like 25.
Yeah,
or
I know,
20,
but that's
right?
What I got to ask him. Like, how much do you? Was there a ratio? An exception?
He did it again.
Oh my God!
Let's just do
Mike
three.
Most ridiculous scenario I've ever seen.
I did the opposite. I was pulling on it to make sure it screwed in all the way, and it released, and I just nailed myself in the groin with the microphone.
Nice.
So I've taken one in the eye. I've taken one in the groin. This is. Not going well.
My mixtape.
Who's had...
Take one in the eye and the groin. You need that one.
That's definitely in the mixtape. This reminds me... I've told this story. Nick knows it. My brother Nick, God bless him, 80-some-odd years old now, and going strong down in North Carolina. When we moved to our house on Long Island from the city, there was a den. The downstairs level was a den with a very low ceiling. It was maybe... I don't know. I'm going to say... 7.5 feet, very very low, and there was not recessed lighting. There was a light there that obviously didn't hang down like a chandelier, but it was a light fixture. And you got to remember, this is way back. This is 70 years ago. And there was no Lowe's or Home Depot. You had to go to like a local hardware store. So it wasn't easy to find these things. So the light fixture that was set up there, my brother Nick raised his hand over his head and knocked it off. Fell down and shattered. So my father had to find a place that had the exact same model. If not, you would have to replace the whole light. He found a place. It wasn't that close to our house. He had to drive to it. We got the light fixture, the green. He had to stand on a little ladder. It wasn't like it is now where it's easy to put back together. He's on a ladder. He's got a screwdriver. And he finally gets the whole thing put back up. And he gets down. He says, Nick, how the hell did you do that? And my brother said, I just went like this. And then did it again. Yeah, you ask a question, that's what you get. So that's what Nick did. How did you almost decapitate yourself? I just went like this. Gonk. All right. Let's see. We'll see if he's going to be. You don't want to. There you go. No? Yes? Maybe? Let's see.
Can't get it in.
There we go. Mixtape.
Dang, going.
Line the holes up. You can't just put it in anyway.
Mixtape.
There you go.
All right. There we go. Am I back? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Is this thing on?
All right. Good God. Now it's all janky the other way.
What the hell?
Jesus. All right. I think I got it.
Just leave it. Leave well enough alone.
All right. I'm going to pull on it a little
bit. Oh, here we go.
Okay. All right. I think it's okay. Because God comes in after me, he's the burliest man in the station, and I don't want it to break for him.
Who comes in for you?
Max Godby's the Mike 2 for Streebs, former tight end of UK football. I don't want
also Nick's other show.
Yes, yeah,
my other show.
Yeah, his other show. This one he just does in his spare time.
How does it rank? Does it go Maven, Diener, Striebel, Denby
no,
show?
Maven,
Louis,
Maven,
Denby show,
Striebel, Diener. Louis, the farm report.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say farm report.
The mortgage show on 93.9.
Yes. Horse
then
Racing us. Radio Network. Yes.
And us.
Lou City postgame, pregame too.
You know the one show I've never run currently on our airwaves?
To the Sunday Morning Hangover.
I think I've done Sunday Morning Hangover. Yeah, I've done Sunday Morning
I haven't
morning
done
hangover.
That or Lou City.
I don't know if I've done a Lou City game. I think I've done Soccer City. I have. I've done Inside Churchill Downs. I've done Down the Stretch. I've done the Garden Show.
Okay, so what's the answer to your question? What show haven't you done, you said?
I haven't done the Victory Formation show with Jeff Lightsey Jr. on Saturday.
That's just James. That's James' baby.
Yeah, no, yeah. Well, James is very protective of that.
Lightsey can't stand you. That's the other thing.
No, actually, I think Lightsey likes me.
No, he doesn't.
Nah.
Really? Oh, that makes me sad. We did radio Monday and Tuesday together.
Didn't you hear him afterwards? I guess he shut the door. He would get out in the hall and just scream an absolute jungle scream of angst.
All right,
angst.
Thanks, Jeff, for joining us. Oh, yeah, it was a great time.
Boom.
That guy sucks.
Yeah, that's...
I think I got gray hairs from just that conversation.
No, big fan of Lightsey. But what was I going to say? James Black. He wasn't, he was here and he's going to be back later today. But he was like on lunch break.
He's here.
And Tanner and I absolutely raided his desk.
Oh, yeah.
Like, absolutely.
He took his phone charger. I took his headphones.
Yeah, like, we just absolutely stole all kinds of stuff from poor James Black. I have his phone charger.
Phil's cube, the thing to stick in the wall, because I didn't.
But Tanner and I went at the same time, so Tanner, like, immediately, like, rummaged through his, like, desk drawer and took his headphones, and I rummaged under his desk and took his charger. I felt kind of bad. I felt a little bad.
They are the best headphones that we have.
This is a great charger. He's got the only Apple brand charger in the studio. Everything else is, generic.
Yeah.
And will break in 5 seconds.
Clearly not the U.S. Open, that's for sure. What is today? It's Friday, right?
Yeah.
So these guys have
Friday,
only played,
the 26,
they played
28.
Two rounds, and they're playing in the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit. And the leader is a guy I've never heard of, and I follow golf. I don't know who this is. Akshay. It sounds like Pig Latin. Akshay Bhatia.
No, I can't say I've
like
heard of
his
him.
Name should be
Tanner, have you
Shay.
Heard of him?
Sounds like Akshay. Sounds like Pig Latin. Should be Shay.
I know like five golfers.
You've heard of him, Aiden?
He came in second last week.
Really?
There you go.
He came in second to Scotty. He was in the final group with him.
Oh, okay. There we go.
All right. Well, I thought that Kim did. I thought Kim was the guy who was second last week.
I don't know.
He was the other one in that group.
The other one. Yeah.
All right. So
Kim didn't finish second, though?
I guess not. I guess he finished third.
Right,
as we go to our golf.
Baccia is 13 under. After,
our interns know golf. I'll tell you that.
After two rounds, 13 under. Good Lord. Montgomery is 11 under, tied with Merritt. Cole is 10 under. And then Cameron Davis from the UK is tied for fourth. Those guys have all finished. So they there's a good chance they won't be the leaders at the end of the day because the other group hasn't even gone out yet, have they? No. Although those are some crazy low scores. Good Lord.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah. The guy, with the equipment the way it is and the way these guys hit it. Hey, there's a guy named Junior Bridgman.
Really?
No, Jacob Bridgman. But oh, okay. Jay Bridgman on the thing.
Yeah, I was like, Junior Bridgman out there swinging it. Yeah, good for him.
All right. When is...
Neil Knuckles Greenberg is now. In 7 minutes.
Well, let's pay some bills.
In just 7 minutes, Neil Knuckles Greenberg will join us on these very airwaves.
We'll pay some bills. We have to do another race today. We have a carryover.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Is Emma in today? Emma's not here today, right? So we can't have a Sports Center off.
What was your question?
Emma's not here, right?
No, she's not.
So we can do a Sports Center from intern Aiden if he's feeling froggy enough to do one.
Feeling froggy?
It's Friday. You don't have to do
he's
one.
He's feeling froggy,
okay.
I think.
Oh, shiz.
Is a
no, that's German not sausage. The right. That is not the right copy.
Uh oh.
That's yeah. That's like from February.
No, it's not. It says use in June.
Oh, hot damn! All right, I thought I stole that.
Ooh, you can start that with.
Well, yeah, but except
hot damn thing. Outside, it's hot.
I don't think he put it back. You didn't put it back, did you?
No, I didn't. That's why I'm saying it's in my car.
Unbelievable.
Well, because
how do you
I
get through the day. How do you get through the
because
day?
Because you want. You really want to know why. You want to know why?
I want to know why.
I came into the studio to interrupt Strieble's show once already.
Good job.
To get you your stinking tax stuff.
Okay.
And then I inadvertently took the Windows read when I did that. And I didn't want to go back in.
So you couldn't put it on your desk or somewhere in this building? Why is it in your car?
Because I left it in my pocket, I think.
There you go. And now we're getting to
and
the
then
truth of it.
I had the wherewithal to take it out before I went to the restaurant so I didn't get it covered in ketchup. So you're welcome there, and I think it's in my car. So, but I thought you said that was the June copy.
I was alluding to the one you took. That was the one you took.
Yeah, no. So that one is not the June copy.
No, that's February.
Well, that's,
I'll read it if you want.
No, please don't.
It's okay. Freezing outside.
It's freezing outside. You want to stay warm? Yeah. So now we.
They're just every list cold.
Queued this up for nothing.
Well, just don't do it. Don't do it. Don't. The moment's not there. I'll get the script when we get Knuckles on. You got pizza on your shirt. That's what we can remind everyone. Why does Bobby V have pizza on his shirt?
Ooh, I like that.
That was kind of nice.
Oh. Do it.
That's a good siren. I like that one.
That sounds
normally
like
that would tell you that we're going to do a live read for Universal Windows Direct, but Nick kept the copy in
well,
his pocket.
I got two things I want to tell people.
Okay.
If you want to save 15% on TBT tickets, use code TBTLU15. That's
Maybe
code TBTLU15.
Nice.
What song is this?
It's Lola Astanova.
Want to watch your former Louisville Cardinals?
The piano version.
Clocks. That's right.
Do it with a soft, somber voice, though.
Do it with the one guy that's on the other side. Do it that guy. That guy.
No,
I
can't do it that voice. That's
8150.
Now I'm turned into Snagglepuss. Get some tickets. Exit stage left.
If you want to save 15% on TBT tickets, use code TBTLU15. That's code TBTLU15. The TBT gets going July 20th at Freedom Hall. And that's TBTLU15 for 15% off TBT tickets.
Why does God give some people
nice?
Thank you.
Disproportionate amounts of a lot of things?
Oh, Lola Astanova
oh, dear God,
is thanks. Stupid good looking.
No, she's. Do you know her? Oh, okay. Let's give Tulio a
I'd like to see a photo.
No, that's
Julio's
not good.
At a loss
she has a. She's doing really good job on the keys. I'll tell you that.
Hey, I'm just saying she can tickle. She can tickle my ivories.
Hey,
you know what I'm saying?
Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo,
hey, yo, hey, yo.
Yeah, no, she's good. She's very good. But why? I mean, why give her all that? You know, let her be great at piano, but look like a foot, you know, and then let somebody else look, you know, nice, but can't play the piano. You know what I'm saying?
She is seriously one of the most attractive people I know.
No, she's beautiful, and she's classically trained and knows what she can play anything, and she's very good at piano.
Yeah. Is she real?
Yeah. No, she's not an AI. She's real.
No, but, like, you know, like, plastic is what I'm saying.
Oh, who knows? You know, that whole question irritates me. Does she look great? Fine. Who cares? You know, like when you get your car and then you go and you get it refinished, does somebody say, "Do you buy it like that? Did you put wax on that? That's not how you got it."
No,
that's,
I mean,
who cares? Who gives a rat's ass?
I don't care. She could be, you know, full of, you know, nitrates and hydrogenated soybean oil. I don't care. But I'm just, I'm just saying it speaks to what you're saying. Like, she's talented at piano and is also naturally that beautiful.
I don't know what else she could have fixed. I mean, no. If you want to be crass and objectify her, which is objectionable in itself, I mean, she looks like she's in very good shape. I've seen her. She plays soccer. Does she play soccer?
No.
She ball juggles.
She ball juggles,
yeah.
Too?
Yeah. So she's her legs. I mean, she's fit. She's got, you know, beautiful legs. She's got a pretty face.
She can play piano and ball juggle?
Hmm?
I can't even do one of those things. I do not look like the male equivalent of her.
Breaking news.
Sure.
We need the breaking news sounder. Former Reds pitcher Joe Nuxhall, one of the most popular broadcasters here, has been stripped of a Major League Baseball record he's held for 80 years.
What?
At an age when most kids are looking forward to earning their driver's license, Nuxhall was in the major leagues in a real game, June 10th, 1944. At the age of 15 years, 316 days, he became the youngest player to ever appear in an MLB game. Okay, now, why did that record disappear? He was called on that day to face the St. Louis Cardinals in a relief role. Oh, you can see where this is going.
Right.
You know why?
No, I got the story up right here. Yeah.
He entered the game in the top of the ninth. The Reds were trailing 13-0, so there was not a lot of pressure. Promptly retired the first batter he faced. Then he issued a walk, and then he got another out. Then a walk, a single, three more walks, and another single before they mercifully pulled him from the game. However, MLB announced that it was including Negro League stats into its record books. John Thorne, the official MLB historian, posted weeks later on social media information that said Roy Campanella, who later would go on to great success with the Brooklyn Dodgers, played in the Washington, D.C. Elite Giants. June 22nd, 1937, that meant Campanella made his debut several months younger than Nuxhall, 15 years and 215 days. That means we now have a younger MLB-er. Campanella saw action in six games that season, got three hits in 20 plate appearances. Quick, what was his average?
How many hits?
Three hits, 20 plate appearances.
Three hits, 20 hit plate appearances.
Come on.
Wait, no. It's like what?
150.
One sixth. Yeah, okay. I knew that. I was going to get there.
Eventually.
I got a little Astanova on the brain.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Not much of the blood is in my brain, if you know what I'm saying.
Nuxhall didn't pitch again in the big leagues until 1952, but he lasted until 1966 with a very fine 115 and 117 record. 3.90 ERA, mostly with the Reds. He did spend 1961 in the American League with the Kansas City Athletics and part of 1962 with the Los Angeles Angels. So, and of course, he went on to a long career as a Reds broadcaster. Very immensely popular here in town. Ever since I've shown you that Scrapple hat, anytime I look at anything about baseball, the Delmarva Shorebirds hat comes up on my feed. Always. Scrapple hat. See? Scrapple hat. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll do it. So, there you go. All right. We'll take a break. I'm really not happy about it. It was the last bite of pizza I had. Look at that. Now I look like a slob.
Just get some water on it.
It won't come out.
Yeah, it will.
No, when I tried it already. Why do you say things like that?
Because try
just
again.
Just because you arbitrarily decided you can get oil stains out with water?
Well, I was about to throw this on your chest, but then I realized it was coffee. Cold coffee. I wouldn't burn you, but it'd probably make the stain worse. What's that thing from, is it Thoroughly Modern Millie, where they try to get stains out with soy sauce or something? Yeah.
Yes. A very good reference there.
Thank you.
Yeah. Doesn't work, needless to say. All right, we'll take a break. It's ESPN 680 1057. Thanks for spending your Friday with us here on ESPN Radio.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Munseva into a hard screen, bobbles the dribble. Hancock goes after, can't get it. Blackshear does, gives to Seva, lobs it, and a slam power dunk by Harrell. And just like that, Louisville has the lead.
Welcome back to Fast Break Friday, presented by AL81.
LA, the soft drink of tomorrow. LA, a new kind of taste. LA, the soft drink of tomorrow. LA, it's from another place.
Crisp, clean, LA.
Emanating from the ESPN Louisville studios and heard throughout the Commonwealth on the PNV network.
Don't I have to wait? Is this?
Oh, we're back.
When's the one where I got to try and start a riot?
That's another one. Oh. I need to get some new tunes.
Why? These are only 14 years old.
I've only been here 10.
Yeah. Hey, it's Neil Knuckles Greenberg. Neil, always eager to speak with you. I know you got a heart out today. Oh, my, take a little penicillin. That'll get cleared up. Hey, how you doing? But I want to ask you about round robin bets. May I do that? Could I do that?
Yeah, of course.
So here's the thing. Baseball's been pretty good so far. People don't, I think, appreciate the opportunities that are there with various things like strikeouts. You talked about that last week and just hit rate. But if you can get, like, for example, and I believe I've got this right, a round robin is like if I have three bets I really like, I can play them all in a parlay, but I could also round robin them. I said this earlier. Let's say one is A, one is B, one is C. I play A, B, A, C, B, C, correct? And that's how a round robin works. Is that what it is? And if it is, like, if that, then I also played all three of them in the same parlay. Is there a ratio of how much money you put to the overall parlay and what you put in the round robin? How does that work exactly? I don't know how to navigate that.
Well, it depends on what you think the parlay should pay versus what it will pay. That's kind of how I determine how much of my bankroll I bet on any given wager. So it really depends. I mean, round robin's good. If you're in a situation like me and you can't get a lot of money down on something, you can kind of make mini parlays because that's really what they are. It really depends on the situation. There was a time when FanDuel was offering a different type of teaser bet. And it was actually more advantageous to take alternate lines in round robins than it was to do like their straight teaser stuff. So it really depends on kind of what you're going for. But it's something that a lot of professional bettors use, especially, you know, if there's a couple of legs which are positive expectation for them and you know, they want to get as many bets down as they can and kind of, you know, cover as much ground as they can. So it really depends on what you think it's going to pay versus what it does pay, and then you can determine how much you should bet.
You know, it's interesting you say that. I look and there's so many different wagering opportunities out there now. After, like, for example, here in Kentucky and in Louisville, where we went for years and years and years with nothing, ESPN Bet is my favorite, but there are many, many out there. Do all of them keep you from putting big bets on it? Do they share information and say, like, don't take big bets from this guy? How's that work?
Well, a lot of them use the same clearinghouse. So once they, if they're using the same clearinghouse, it doesn't take long for me to be limited because they just scrub my name against, you know, their list. So there's like four or five or six oddsmakers in Virginia that use the same back-end administration people. So once I was limited at one, I was limited at all of them. Some have their own independent thing. So it really depends on who's running the back end for them. I'm sure they share information on bigger, sharper bettors. I don't fall into that category. I'm just a nuisance enough that they, you know, they'll just limit me. They I don't think they need to spread my name around. But there certainly are some big, big bettors out there that, you know, they're the you know, the people in charge are definitely talking about, but a lot of it is just done via computer. I mean, you know, my name's on a list, my social security number's on a list because you have to give it to them for tax purposes. So once I sign up for a new place, if they're run by the same back end shop, I'm usually limited within a day or two.
Wow, I did not know they have a like the transfer portal. they have a clearinghouse.
I wish I could enter the transfer portal. Yeah, I mean it makes sense, right? I mean, you're talking about, you know, the money transactions and everything are sometimes outsourced. So, you know, it makes sense that they would the whole risk management system. They're buying the whole risk management system. So, you know, if they perceive me to be too sharp of a bettor at Sportsbook A and Sportsbook B decides to use their back end, part of the selling point, I would assume, for the risk management system is to be like, hey, we already have a database of sharp bettors, so you don't even have to worry about them for the most part because we'll be able to filter them out a day or two after they sign up.
I just saw one of the things you retweeted. I'm always interested in kind of going down different avenues with you. This says, build your own U.S. Olympic team predictions before trials start tonight. Are they taking bets? You can bet on that, too, on Olympic trials?
I don't know if you can bet on that in the U.S., but you can certainly overseas might be able to find some stuff. This is more of a, how much are you into women's gymnastics? And then, you know, who would you put on the team? Kind of like a fantasy football draft type thing. This is something that Emily has done. She's a really strong reporter in her own right, but also is really good at data and visualization. So she was able to help create this. And, just think of it as like a fantasy football draft for the women's gymnastics team that's coming up. So you would just kind of click in it and start to build your own team. I personally would have Simone Biles on it. But maybe other people would not.
No, I would think Simone Biles seems like a pretty solid pick. I don't think there's any question about that. Also, this is for one more possibly quasi-serious question. Nick, you'll appreciate this. Neil retweeted, the Mets have a Grimace giveaway. Did you see that?
Oh, I did not. It's a Funko Pop?
I don't know what that is.
No, that's a Funko Pop, if ever I've seen one.
Right.
Yes, that's a Funko Pop.
Got it. So 15,000 fans get one presented by McDonald's, and you retweeted it. Is that your way of hoping that someone sends you one, Neil? You want Grimace?
No, I want the baseball card. I bought that B-Guy card, and I bought the, the hot dog card, Wiener, for the hot dogs at Met Stadium. So I'm hoping they make a Grimace baseball card because I want to buy one.
What is
that would be awesome.
Is the base? Didn't the baseball card business kind of lose steam for a while? Is it back? As a good source?
I don't care. I got like the Bobby Valentine disguise card when he tried to get back in the dugout with his mustache.
I remember that.
Like every now and then they come out with these like limited edition cards.
Are they worth anything?
Yeah.
They are worth something? They're worth
it? I mean, they're worth something to me.
Oh, that's
This isn't like investment. The challenge with investing in collectibles now is everyone's heard the stories of, you know, our fathers and grandfathers flipping Mickey Mantle cards against the wall and just kind of like giving them away. So like the scarcity factor didn't happen with, like, my comic books, for instance, or, you know, baseball cards like when I was growing up, because everyone knew to hold on to them or at least keep them in semi-good condition. So now, like, really the only cards that are worthwhile are the ones that, you know, have, like, the player's DNA in them, or, like, pieces of fabric, or, you know, that type of stuff. Like, it's a much more concentrated type thing. I just do it because I think it's fun. But I mean, Grimace is single-handedly responsible for the Mets' run since he showed up. I mean, he should absolutely have a card. The B guy can get a card. I mean, Grimace has got to be able to get a card. My guess is the whole McDonald's thing is probably tripping this whole thing up. Thanks a lot, McDonald's.
Yeah, thanks, McDonald's. Wrecking the whole damn thing. Hey, let me ask you about the team in your backyard and a general comment you're willing to, if you're so inclined, then we'll let you go, about the draft in general. But the Wizards are perceived to be, for lack of a better word, in full-fledged tank mode. And people said that their draft reflected that. What kind of response are the people giving to the draft? What did you make of who they took? And if that's so, is what they're doing makes, I guess from a broader interest point of view, because I don't know how many Wizards fans there are here, but is that the way to go in the draft now? Is you make a 3-year commitment to draft with the idea of, I don't know, opening up cap space or something, rather than actually just trying to get the good players now? What do you make of it?
The Wizards refused to embrace this situation that they were in for, I don't know, almost a decade. Like, they constantly believed that they were either a playoff team or one step away from the championship caliber team, and just spun their wheels in what we call the messy middle, right? So they weren't good enough to actually be a contender, but they weren't bad enough to get one of the top picks in the lottery. So they ended up, you know, drafting these guys at 6, 10, 11, you know, 15 or whatever, where they really, you don't really get too many NBA stars. So they finally embraced the rebuild. You know, they actually used the word, unlike some other organizations. And I absolutely think this is the right way to go. A lot of people kind of chastised them for collecting draft picks in what a lot of people thought was a pretty weak draft. But, you know, Alex Starr has the potential to be a very, very good defensive center. His shooting does have to get better, but, you know, as far as defensively goes, he certainly has tremendous upside there. You have Bob Carrington and Kyshawn George. You know, all these guys are under 20 years old. You know, you're looking at them to be good 2, 3, 4 years down the line and kind of start to form a nucleus for something to build on, because right now the Wizards don't really have anything. But it's a challenge, right? Because even if you're bad or the worst team in the NBA, there's still no guarantee you're going to get the number one pick. So, you know, you have to just keep taking – you have to stockpile future assets so that you have the best chance to hit on one of them a year and, you know, start to form your nucleus that way and then be able to be a draw for free agents. But I finally like what the Wizards are doing. I thought their draft was very good. And this is what they have to do. I don't know if it's going to work, but this is what they have to do in order to climb back into respectability.
I know you got to go. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend, my friend, and we will talk to you hopefully real soon. Have a great 4th. Take care of yourself.
Yeah, you too. Talk to you guys soon.
All right. Neil Knuckles Greenberg, always good to talk to him. We'll take a break. We'll come back. I just put him on hold. Didn't mean to do that. And then we'll...
I'll go get that read.
If you get a read, we'll do a V-Stakes, and maybe we'll take a look at baseball promotions again.
Oh,
see
nice.
See if we can duplicate that. That ain't going to happen, but who knows? Never know. You never know, right?
Why not?
Last week, we picked 5 games based on the more you give, the more you get. We picked 5 games that were giving out bobbleheads in the major leagues on Friday and Saturday, and all 5 of them came in. And so a $20 bet paid $520.
I think that's the key. It has to be a bat. Or a bobble.
Yeah. No, that's, I agree with you. Not just picking the best ones. No. And nobody does Bat Day anymore. So.
Now, what about Funko Pops?
No. I don't even like Funko Pops.
I like Funko. What do you got against bobbles?
I don't like them.
I mean, you got against Funko Pops.
I don't
Pops.
Like them.
Why?
They all look the same. They just put the same generic head, and they put it in a Reds uniform or a football uniform, and they say, "Oh, look, it's Johnny Bench or it's Lawrence Taylor." It's a generic head with a jersey on. So look at some of the detail on the bobbleheads. I mean, it's unbelievable, and the different poses. The one last week we won with the Oakland A's, who were decided underdog in their game, and yet won because why? Did they hit well? Maybe. Did they pitch well? Eh, possibly. They gave out a Satchel Paige bobblehead where he's sitting in a rocking chair. That is creativity and deserved to be rewarded, and the great god of baseball so that they were. So that's how that works.
If I put up a Twitter poll, Funko Pops or bobbleheads, what do you think the outcome is?
I think the outcome is...
bobbleheads.
80-20?
I think bobbleheads about 81 to 19.
I was going to say 85 to 15.
Okay. Yeah. So I think...
Putting it up.
I'm in the majority right now.
V-Show Twitter poll.
How about bobbleheads, Funko Pops, or Sugar Pops? By the way, those beaver nuggets, whatever the hell they're called, gone.
I have another bag.
How much you offer?
How much you offer? Funko Pops, bobbleheads.
I still can't figure out what they are. That's the thing. I don't know what they are.
Is bobblehead one word?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Paul McCartney's father.
Funko Pops.
Do you know
two,
that story,
though, right?
By the way?
Spelled right, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you know Paul McCartney? They played the song for him. John and Paul had written She Loves You, which became one of the most iconic rock pop songs of all time.
Right, right.
And sang it for his dad, who was a musician himself. And he said, it's really good, but we've got so much Americanism creeping into our language over here. Do you have to say yeah? Can't you say yes? Could you imagine that song with She Loves You? Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Oh, wow. That just sounds so...
They said...
What
no,
a subtle change.
Dad,
two letters.
No.
And it just...
They were like, Dad, we can't. That's not going to work. Good decision out of them. Funko Pops. Oh, let's see if this is an insult or serious or just funny. It could go either way. When I don't know what the text is going to be, I open it with great trepidation. Let's see what this says. And let's make sure it's suitable for the air. I don't understand that. Funko Pops are for people who like to collect trash.
The text right before it says Funko Poops suck.
Yeah.
Funko Poops.
I guess. But they don't poop, though, actually. That would be disgusting.
That would
on
be
your
a
desk.
Biohazard.
You come in on a Monday morning after the weekend.
Ellie, just... what the hell, man?
Johnny Bench has been... Has he got diarrhea? That's awful.
Poor Johnny Bench.
That's a sentence that may never have been uttered on the radio before.
What?
Johnny Bench, does he have diarrhea? Do you think any other show ever said that anywhere? For what reason would they have said that? I love whenever we stumble on a sentence here that may have never been said in
never
the history
said
of sports,
in sports radio.
Radio,
yeah.
George Carlin used to do a bit on that. I've said that before. He said he tried to come up with a sentence that he felt had never been uttered in the history of mankind.
Right.
He came up with two.
Right.
Please saw my legs off and do anything you want to the girl, but leave me alone. Those are the only two sentences.
I'm trying to think what... what's the line from in... It's Family Guy.
Okay.
And the whole premise is Chevy Chase and...
I'm not a well-versed Family Guy.
It's Chevy Chase and Dan Aykroyd.
Okay.
Are actually CIA agents.
Okay.
And they're trying to track down...
They're voicing
down,
the characters?
I don't know if they actually are or not.
Okay.
But they're trying to track down like a Russian sleeper cell.
Okay.
And the activation code for the sleeper cell is a sentence that would never be uttered. And it's, my goodness, that Italian family in the next booth is being quiet.
That's good. I like that. That's good.
Oh, my God. That's
very
funny.
Tasty. All right. We'll come back and we'll do a V-Stakes in the next hour. And we'll go through the baseball promotions. And we'll have a lot of fun. And Nick will find the ad copy. And all will be right with the world. Thanks for being with us on this Friday. ESPN 680, 105.7.